Arlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist with over 25 years of experience helping people feel better through nutrition. You know, even with my 25 years of experience, I find it necessary to research and study new nutritional information daily, actually daily, to be able to help people with complex health issues that we're seeing in our offices these days. So, you know, I think this is one of the things that I've been saying is nutrition is no longer just means, you know, calories in and calories out, or how many points in a piece of cake.
Right.
Exactly. It is a total understanding of unique biochemistry of each person and how foods affect that biochemistry. You know, I look at nutrition as very complex, and at the same time, it's very simple. But when nutrition is applied correctly, it really has the power to heal some very complex health problems. You know, in private practice, I really get to witness this magic that nutrition provides people all the time. We see it all the time. And our co-host today is Wendy Cates Dancer. She's back.
Woohoo!
Wendy is a registered nurse. She's a nutrition counselor, and she teaches many of our corporate classes. You know, we teach for a variety of businesses and organizations, and you also see the magic of nutrition, don't you, when you're working with clients?
Oh, exactly, Dar. I mean, exactly. We see the unhealthiness of poor nutrition on
right.
a daily basis. I mean, you know, it's just like you said, the people, we get to see people that are really, really sick. And like you said, it's not, in some ways it's simple, but it's not simple because of the things that are going on and how sick people are when they come into our office. So we all do a ton of research. So
you were gone for a little bit.
Yeah, it's great to be back. And I was gone. I was actually in Montana, and I was in Utah, and I was in Wyoming.
Wow.
And the reason we're going to talk about this today is many of you might remember Danielle Bradley. She actually is a very dear friend of mine, and she worked at our office last summer. But I think the biggest thing is that she's been on the radio show 3 or 4 times, actually talking, and is a great testimonial because she saw you several years ago now, Dar, and
right.
she actually had an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
She was 63 pounds.
Yes.
And she was anorexic.
Yes.
And I was out in Wyoming watching her walk down the aisle in this beautiful strapless dress, worried about getting her, breasts in there. And she was just absolutely beautiful and absolutely gorgeous. And she's just doing wonderfully well. Actually, because of you, Dar, she just graduated from Montana State University with a degree in nutrition.
Yes. And she's,
she is just totally committed to helping people like herself.
Well, you know, it's so interesting when you look at an eating disorder or even people that are going through chemo. Sometimes, you know, we talked about how nutrition can be simple, but it can also be complex. And sometimes people just get depleted in a very simple mineral, zinc.
And that's one of the things that happened to Danielle, remember? I mean, mm-hmm. she was a cross-country runner, and she just was running out there in the spring and got very depleted in her minerals.
And so when that happens in the appetite center in your brain, when you are low on zinc in that center, you suddenly lose your appetite, and except for maybe some sugary things. And so people start eating dots and licorice, and you'll see that all the time. And as soon as you bring their zinc level up, suddenly that appetite returns. And in fact, I just worked with a lady the other day that we did that, and her appetite has changed, and she stopped losing weight, and she had had some chemo and actually some radiation in her mouth. And so we just returned that level, and now she's back eating, and she's doing much better. So
that's good. And she needs that nourishment with what she's going through,
exactly.
doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing we know, Dar, is that 83% of our population at this point in time is low in zinc. And low zinc levels not only affect our appetite and that center in our brain, but our immune system, and it increases the risk for teenagers to develop acne.
So where do we get zinc? And so let's kind of talk about where we get zinc. You know, people, it's surprising, it comes from food.
Ooh, really? Well, that fits right into our topic today, because we know the food source for zinc is meat and fish. Since this is the 4th of July weekend and everyone is getting into grilling, we've actually invited Tim Lauer, the general manager from Coastal Seafood, to share recipes and tips on grilling fish. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So, Tim, it's really nice to have you here today. And, you know, Tim, just let's pretend that I've never grilled fish at all. And my kids would probably say, that's probably true.
We don't, sure. We don't need to pretend.
Right.
No, I have once in a while. You know, I've grilled steak.
Okay.
But so what fish, and I think a lot of listeners have this question, what fish should I start with?
Sure. Well, you know, that's really, really common. I mean, most of us didn't grow up with fresh tuna. In fact, virtually nobody in this part of the country did. So, you know, what we're selling and what's around now in the marketplace is really different than we grew up. And I always tell people, if you're going to start out grilling, pick things that are going to be easy, firm, oilier fish where the handling is not an issue. They're really quick and easy to grill. Things like tuna, marlin, swordfish, you know, anybody can grill them. You have a decent clean grill and the fish and a little oil, olive oil on it, and you're there. You know, 6 to 8 minutes per inch of thickness, and it's really the simplest thing in the world to have great tasting fish.
So is that 6 to 8 minutes on each side or just one side?
No, total.
So like total. So like 3 minutes.
Yeah, people say about eight minutes per inch of thickness.
So you've got to stand there and cook your fish.
You do. I mean, you know, I always tell people fish is the ideal convenience food. I mean, there's really nothing that you want to do that takes more than 10, 15 minutes to cook fish, period.
Okay. Now, a healthy fast food.
Yeah, there we go.
That's exactly right.
Quicker than McDonald's.
Yeah, and better tasting.
And a lot better for
you. A lot better for you, yeah.
But, Tim, you mentioned tuna and swordfish. Now, I know that there's some people that are going to be concerned about mercury.
Sure.
So
you know, methylmercury is an environmental pollutant, and long-lived predatory creatures tend to accumulate it. So I look at the body of water where the fish comes from. The bigger the body of water, in general, the better off you are. And I always tell people, look for a varied diet. So if you go fishing on Lake Michigan and you catch a lake trout, and you say, oh, I really want to eat it, I'll say, great, go eat it. You know, don't eat it every day for the rest of your life, lake trout, not that anybody would, but vary your diet. All the modern studies really show that the benefits of eating oily omega-3 rich fish just so far outweighs any potential downside that it's really not an issue that we need to be particularly concerned about.
So, Tim, what you're really saying is if we buy, you know, tuna or marlin or swordfish, and it's from the ocean.
Yes.
Which it would be, of course.
It is, yes. Yeah.
That we are pretty safe eating that.
You're really completely safe. And,
okay.
And you know, I just tell people, like I say, you know, if, you know, swordfish, sharks tend to accumulate mercury. And, you know, I wouldn't eat shark every day. Not that
right.
I'd want to, but I just wouldn't do that.
And, okay.
And I think that that's always a good idea, is to vary your diet. But if you love swordfish and you see it in the grocery store and it looks great, absolutely grill it.
But if we are if we're going to get fish from like Lake Michigan,
yep,
which is a smaller body of water,
exactly, or you know Lake Harriet, I live by Lake Harriet, even a much smaller body of water, you know, I'm more concerned with that. And I guess what I tell people is, you have a couple options. You can certainly eat that fish. I wouldn't subsist on that fish. The other thing you can do is there are certain areas of fish, the fatty areas, that tend to accumulate mercury.
Okay.
So by removing some of that fat, taking the skin off, for instance, or cutting the belly of the fish off, you're really eliminating a lot of the potential issues there.
Okay. Well, those are good tips. Great tips.
And I was going to ask the question about swordfish.
Yep.
Is that something that's endangered or we shouldn't be eating? Or is,
you know, those questions are great, and they're unfortunately difficult because swordfish occur in many different parts of the world, and the East Coast swordfish are being depleted. Now it's probably stopped, but no question for 20, 30 years they've been overfished. At the very same time, in the Pacific, New Zealand, Hawaii, those areas, California even, the stocks have increased every year for the last 15 years.
Oh, my goodness. So we have a lot of misinformation out there, don't we?
You do. And the problem is it's complicated information. So I can't just answer you yes or no.
Right.
You have to look a little bit further. So we sell a lot of swordfish from New Zealand, both because they have a lot of swordfish, it's a good value, and the quality is tremendous. And those stocks are incredibly well managed and have been not just recently, but really for 20 years.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad to know that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I am.
Right.
Yeah, it's important for everybody.
You know, I think one of the questions that a lot of listeners probably have is, you know, and we hear this all the time in class, you know I should be feeding my family more fish. So what's the easiest and the best fish? So it's not fishy.
Sure.
We always hear that
one.
Yeah,
that's a funny term, isn't it? Fishy-tasting fish. The number one most important thing to do no matter what is to have really fresh fish. And you can have, it sounds funny, but you can have really fresh fish that's been frozen. It just depends on how old it was when it got frozen, how it was frozen, and how it's handled. Generally, I find when people talk about, oh, I don't like fish or I don't like fishy fish, it's bad quality fish. And then the next question is to ask, you know, what kind of characteristics do you like? For instance, my son is a real big meat eater, and he always liked beef. He was the one kid of my three who always wanted beef. He loves things like tuna still to this day.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
Marlin, mm-hmm. steakier,
yep.
you know, mm-hmm. fish that kind of remind you of eating meat. You know, my middle daughter, on the other hand, who was practically vegetarian growing up, she wanted mild, you know, she loved halibut, she sole, things like that. And she didn't want that meaty texture or flavor. So I always ask people, what kind of flavors do you like? Do you like stronger or milder flavors?
Okay, that makes sense, a lot of sense. So I think we should probably take a break. So, you know, here's something to think about. If you are a person experiencing gout, the first food to eliminate from your diet is sugar and all the processed cereals and breads that turn into sugar in your body. And it's amazing. Alcohol increases the production of uric acid.
Now, that's an important thing to remind people on the 4th of July weekend.
Yes. So you should eliminate it if you've got gout. So questions for us today. If you want to call and ask us, Tim's got some great information here. So our phone number is 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
If you're pre-diabetic, insulin-resistant, or diabetic, you know that managing your blood sugar requires careful attention to food choices and eating patterns. At times, it may even feel like a full-time job. Do cravings drive you to poor food choices to boost your blood sugar quickly? Would you like a simple, healthy eating plan? Nutritional Weight and Wellness has helped hundreds of clients successfully prevent and manage diabetes. Their clients have reported better fasting blood sugars and A1Cs, along with more energy and greater well-being. Following a balanced eating plan can also help avoid hearing and vision loss, impotence, and kidney failure that can result from high blood sugars. Nutritionists prepare individual food plans and explain what to eat and how frequently to eat to stabilize your blood sugar. Eating the right combination of foods diminishes cravings and increases metabolism, which helps with weight loss. Nutritional Weight and Wellness, 651-699-3438, or visit their website, weightandwellness.com, to learn more about classes or individual consultations. Their offices are located in both St. Paul and Wayzata.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavist, licensed nutritionist, and Tim Lauer, general manager and author of Saltwater Cookbooks.
And we're talking about fish today.
We are talking about fish today.
And actually, we have a caller. Mark, you have a question for us? Hi, Mark.
Hi.
You have a question for us today?
I do. I am a 24-year-old guy, single, live alone in a condo downtown Minneapolis, going through chemotherapy. And I am just wondering good, easy ways to integrate good, healthy fish and meat into my diet. Because obviously a lot of stuff has been depleted with the 24 rounds of chemo that I've gone through.
Exactly. And you know, you really need protein at this point in your diet and in many different forms. So I think what we're going to do, and so how are you feeling these days? Are you able to actually do some cooking, or do you have the energy?
It depends. During my chemo weeks and the week after, it's a little bit harder. But I usually go through one round of chemo a month, and that lasts about a week, and then a week of recovery time.
Okay, okay. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Tim. You got some easy ways to
absolutely. It's a great question. Let me just ask you a quick question. What kind of fish have you had that you've liked?
I've liked a lot of tuna. I've liked sea bass. Okay. A lot of whitefish. I'm not very fond of salmon.
Okay, great. You know, there's just so many things you can do that are really easy. On days where you don't feel like cooking at all, one of the things that I do that's just incredibly easy is preheat the oven to 425 degrees, bring home a piece of fish, say halibut, put it in a cast iron pan, a little bit of olive oil on it, any kind of herb, fresh, dried, whatever you have. At this time of the year, it seems like there's fresh herbs everywhere. Just put a sprinkle of fresh herbs, salt, pepper, 425 degrees for about 8 to 10 minutes per inch of thickness. So a typical halibut fillet, maybe, you know, maybe you're going to bake it for 6-8 minutes at 425, and that's it. And you can add lime, lemon, you know, pineapple, any kind of fruit you want at the end if you want, just to give it a little bit more flavor, a little fresh chopped parsley. Tuna is really an easy one, too, that it's one of those fish I never get tired of eating. I salt and pepper the tuna steak, get a cast iron pan hot on the stove, a little bit of oil, you know, a teaspoon of oil is all you need because the tuna has so much oil in it. Sear it at high temperatures for, you know, 3-4 minutes per side. And then I usually add a little bit of garlic. If I have some red wine, I'll add that. If I have some vinegar, I'll add that. And again, fruit juice with that, and just let that reduce with the pan drippings for 30 seconds, and that's it. So either of those dishes will be really quick and easy for you.
Sounds yummy.
Yes, it does. It sounds easy, too.
Absolutely.
And so any other questions for us today?
No, I think that'd be it.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Good luck to you, too, Mark. So one of the things that was a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rewarding to be able to help people that are struggling.
And I think the interesting thing is that he actually realized that he needs more protein.
Yes.
And when we're working with people, we increase, especially people that are going through chemo, and sometimes they don't feel like eating these things. And so we have to figure out how we can help people get the extra protein into their system while they're going through chemo. Mm-hmm. And to have a little bit of it several times a day is the trick.
Exactly.
And the more they eat, the better they're going to feel,
mm-hmm.
and the more frequently.
Well, and I think fish would be a perfect food because it's easy to digest and, you know, it's not heavy.
Right, exactly. So
great. Wonderful. So when I'm teaching class, you know, when we're out there teaching people, they often ask me, okay, now should I get, this is probably one of the mercury and the swordfish along that line, too.
Sure, yep.
But it's like, should we get farm-raised or wild-caught fish?
And again, you know, it would be nice to say yes or no or yeah, you know, but
No easy answers.
No, I'm sorry. I don't have that today. What I tell people is there's a place for both. And the reason I say that is, you know, aquaculture is, it's part of our existence as a world now. We're going to have it, and we need it. You know, the protein needs of the world double every 40 years or whatever. One of the ways that's going to happen is with fish farming. You know, it's not, people don't question that we have to farm chickens, you know, or crops or anything else.
Yes.
All of those things have an impact on the environment, and the same is true for fish. We have to farm it. You know, we need to look at how we're doing that. And are we doing it in the most responsible, sustainable ways? You know, if you ask me, would I rather have wild salmon or farmed salmon? You know, given the choice of a perfect wild-caught king salmon from the Yukon River or the Copper River at the peak of the season, I think the flavor is unsurpassed. I really do. I mean, it's tremendous tasting. On the other hand, in January, I am really grateful for great quality farmed Atlantic salmon from Scotland. We sell an organically raised Scottish salmon from the Shetland Islands, and the flavor is tremendous. And it's 365 days a year available. The price is consistent, and the quality is extremely consistent. The medium length answer is, you know, you have to look at the
where
time
the
of the year,
where
it's from, how it's farmed, how it's caught wild, and make sure that you're reflecting the values you want to.
So I know that there's kind of a popular fish right now that a lot of people are eating. It's tilapia.
Absolutely. It's in the top 10 most popular fish in the United States, which is amazing considering, you know, 15 years ago, you guys never heard of it. And,
right.
You know, I sell probably, I don't know, 400 pounds a week of tilapia now. It's quick growing. It's mild.
It's farm raised,
although you can get wild, but all of the stuff you see in the market is farm raised. It exists on a vegetarian diet, so it doesn't have to be a protein or fish meal based feed.
Okay.
And it reaches maturity and market size in about 6 to 9 months. So it's an incredibly quick turnaround. And, you know, lobsters, for instance, we were talking about lobsters before the show. A lobster can live to be 150, and it can take 15 to 25 years just to reach market size. So to farm something like a lobster, you know,
you're not going to have that happen.
You're not going to feed it for 25 years. But a tilapia, you can do really quickly, and it has a really nice flavor profile, and it's inexpensive. So that's, I think, one of the reasons, or some of the reasons, it's so popular.
So guys, we just have to take a break again. So
already?
You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and if you are experiencing gout, I keep coming back to gout here. A very important supplement to add is 3,000 to 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Vitamin C lowers uric acid levels, which in reality, it means less pain. So if you have fish questions for us today, call us at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Hey, want to go for a bike ride this weekend?
No, thanks. I'm exhausted. Work never lets up, and I lay awake thinking about what I have to do the next day. By Saturday, all I want to do is read or watch movies.
What happened to my biking partner? Do I need to find a new one?
Maybe I need what you're taking. How do you find the energy?
Nutrition.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious. You can't believe the difference changing my eating has made. I used to be dragging by Friday, too. Then I went to Nutritional Weight and Wellness for a personal consultation. They set up an eating plan for me with a variety of real foods, none of those canned shakes, rice cakes, or frozen mini dinners. I eat chicken, salmon, steak, eggs, asparagus, wild rice, real butter, and berries and cream. I get plenty to eat. I feel great. I have no more heartburn. I even have better moods.
So food is the answer to my fatigue and insomnia? It can't be that simple.
It was for me. You should call them. I'm glad I did. Their number is 651-699-3438 or visit their website at weightandwellness.com.
Still can't turn away.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stanzer, registered nurse, nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and Tim Lauer, general manager of Coastal Seafoods and author of Saltwater Cookbook. And did you know that at Harvard, they did research, and Dr. Walter Willett points out that eating fish, even a small amount of fish, may reduce coronary heart disease by 17 to 20%. Each serving reduced that risk by 4%. Isn't that incredible?
So that fish is powerful stuff.
Fish is great.
So we had a caller that didn't want to stay on the line and wait any longer for us. But Tim, the question was, what about bottom feeders?
Sure. You know, that's kind of a...
We're talking about fish now.
Yes.
right. That's all
just
I'm,
wanted to clarify
that's all I'm
that.
Qualified for, yeah. You know, that's fun, something you used to hear a lot. You know, is it a bottom feeder? The idea being, oh, in the bottom, what sinks to the bottom and that kind of thing. And it's really not an issue. Flat fish like halibut, sole, flounders, those are fish that tend to live and therefore eat on the bottom of the ocean. And they certainly are on the lower end of the scale in terms of risk factors and
right,
contaminants.
Exactly.
So it's really not something that you need to be concerned about.
Okay, that's so very
so
interesting.
So what about catfish?
You know, most of the catfish we see is farm raised.
Okay.
And so it actually is a healthy and economical choice. I love catfish. I really like it a lot. I think it's funny because, you know, here in this part of the country, a lot of people look down on it. It's like,
yes,
oh,
I know the
lowly catfish. But it's a huge, you know, in the southeastern United States, it's a huge part of the diet. I mean, it's a regular part of the diet. And, you know, I might feel differently about a catfish from the Mississippi River here,
right,
too, you know. But
probably wouldn't eat that one.
Probably not, you know, but it's not the catfish's fault.
Right.
So, no, it's a really nice fish. I like catfish.
Okay. Well, great. Good.
So I guess one of the questions that we always get, Tim, is how do I make fish taste really good?
Yep.
You know, it's like, how do I pick it? How do I know?
Sure.
I mean, that's the trick that people always are wondering about.
It is, you know, and fish is expensive, so people don't want to make mistakes. You don't, you
exactly
know,
right.
You don't want to spend a lot of money on dinner and then have it not be something you enjoy. You know, the number one thing, and I always harp on this when I teach people, is you have to have good quality fish.
And how do you, that's the part.
It is.
Other
how
than
do
coming
you know?
To your store. We'll just
yeah.
go to Coastal.
Well, yeah, that's
then we
true,
should be
although, I mean, that works, certainly.
Yeah,
but there
does.
Are other things that work, too. And next time you go to a grocery store or Coastal Seafoods, look in the case. And, you know, appearance is the first thing. So is the fish bright and shiny looking? Does it look clean? Does it look fresh? And it sounds funny to say that, but you'll be surprised. You'll go to the grocery store. Some of the fish will look almost glistening. It'll look wet. It'll look firm. Some of it will look dull. You'll see gray, brown, the greens, always
Ooh.
Bad colors for fish. Discolorations, the flesh splitting, all of those things are bad signs. And then I encourage people to smell the fish. You know,
okay.
You can't touch the fish, but you can certainly smell it. Great quality fish either has a no smell or it has a pleasant smell. And it can have, you know, when we get a lot of halibut in from Alaska, the room smells like the North Woods. It has almost a piney smell. Really fresh king salmon has almost a metallic smell, but they're pleasant smells. If I smell ammonia, any kind of sharp smell in the fish, whether it's raw or cooked, that's a bad sign. So the number one thing you want to look for with quality is how does the fish look, how does it smell, how firm is it, and that'll give you a really good indication of the quality. And that's the single most important thing to good quality, good tasting fish. The next thing I look at is how do I cook it. And you know, I tell the story a lot. I gave a relative some fish as a present one time, and she had been sick, and I wrote instructions. It was ready to go, and I said, bake at 450 for 6 to 8 minutes. And I asked her a while later how it was, and she said, well, it was a little dry. And I said, oh, really? What'd you do? And she said, well, I roasted it for 45 minutes. And I
oh,
said,
no.
You know, well, I wrote on there, and she said, oh, I just didn't think anything could cook that quick. You know,
right.
She
and
was
I think
used
that's
to doing
a, that is exactly
so she
true.
Pork
roast.
Or,
yeah, she just didn't
five.
Believe it. She had never cooked fish, and it really wasn't in her comfort zone. So I always tell people, don't overcook it. You don't have to undercook it either. But, you know, get good fish, cook it the right amount of time, and use good ingredients.
You know, the other thing, Tim, and I think this is, especially at this hot summer day, what if I come over to Coastal Seafoods, buy my fish, and then I run 6 more errands?
Really important. I live 9 minutes from work, and I bring home a cold pack or ice with my
cooler.
Fish. I do. We give people a it's called a gel pack. It's what the fish come packed with. It's kind of like the things you see in the cooler to keep the fish cold. And I take it in the middle of winter because the inside of my car gets to be 65, 70 degrees. And I think it's even one errand is enough to change the quality of the fish. So keeping it cold is really important.
So that's really interesting how fragile fish really are. You know, I think what we should do is probably take a break.
Okay.
And we do have a caller on the line, and we'll come back to that. But here's just another thought. If you are experiencing restless leg syndrome, and we know if we see the TV that everyone seems to have restless leg, the first food to eliminate is sugar and processed grain products. So, again, if you have questions for us today, please call us at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Sarah, did you hear about the new diet to drop 2 dress sizes in 2 weeks?
Ugh, I'm so sick of hearing about new diets that you can lose all this weight only to gain back more. Remember when we tried the cabbage soup diet? Yuck, the smell of cooked cabbage still gets to me.
I do need to lose weight, but I wish there was a plan to keep it off and do it healthy. Haven't we tried everything out there?
Feels like it. Hey, I listened to that show on FM 107. It's called Dishing Up Nutrition, and I heard them talking about a weight and wellness series.
Oh, yeah, I like that show
show too. I learn a lot from tuning in, and my favorite part is that they don't believe in dieting either.
Given our track records with diets, I'd have to say that I believe that too. Low fat, low carb, I'm sick of them all. I end up tired, I'm cranky, and I'm regaining any weight I lose.
If you're sick of all those fad diets or losing weight only to gain it all back and then some, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness and sign up for their 6-week classes at 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438. Or log on to weightandwellness.com.
I don't know why. Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, nutrition counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and Tim Lauer, general manager of Coastal Seafood and author of Saltwater Cookbook. I am happy to tell you that starting the week of July 9th,
that's next week,
Nutritional Weight and Wellness is offering a Let's Do Lunch Weight and Wellness series. Fit nutrition education into your workday over lunch. Classes start at 11:30 and run for 1 hour. That's till 12:30. And you can be back at the office for a 1 o'clock meeting. Classes meet for 12 weeks and you get education and support to make the changes you are looking for this summer. This is a great time to get started.
It is.
And all 12 classes are only $225. You get a free cookbook, a manual, and the teachers are absolutely great. I can attest to that.
Yes, you train them.
Tuesdays at the White Bear Lake office, Wednesdays in St. Paul, and Thursdays in Wayzata. So we have three different time days and three different locations. To sign up, please give our office a call at 651-699-3438. And you can always go to our website, weightandwellness.com, and the and is spelled out, A-N-D. So.
And those are really great classes, and you'll make some wonderful changes. And
we have some callers,
we
right
have
there?
Some callers, and Saheed, okay. You have a question for us? I hope I pronounced your name right.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
You have a question for us?
Yeah.
And your question is?
My question is, I'm just listening right now to the program, and just you guys, you're talking about, tremendous the benefits from the fish.
Yes.
But I just hate fish, myself and my husband. So my question is, what could be the alternative?
Well, let's talk about why you might hate fish.
Well, just the smelling. I don't know.
Okay. Sure. Tim, maybe that's
it's funny because I used to teach a lot of cooking classes, and every once in a while I'd have people come in. And it seemed like they were mostly men, and they would start out, as soon as they come in, they would tell me, I hate fish. And then they would say, oh, my doctor told me to come, or my wife or partner or somebody told me to come in. And I never had anybody leave saying that they hated fish. It may be that you don't like certain kinds of fish or certain kinds of smells. I guess if you came to our store, I would probably give you I'd give you a piece of tilapia and write down how to cook that, see if that's something you liked, and then could go ahead. I'm sorry.
The first place is I can't even carry it. This is my problem. I really try. I mean, every direction, like when I was little and then, during the growing up, and because my mom, she didn't like it, it could be the reason.
Hmm.
But the other way around, my brothers, they love to eat the fish.
Interesting. And is it smell? Is it taste? Is it what kind of foods do you like, and what do you find you don't like about fish?
I just threw up.
Huh, wow.
Maybe
smell.
Maybe it's an allergy.
Maybe
kind
it
of
is
thing,
an allergy. Until then, I would.
Right.
If you react that strongly, it maybe is an allergy.
Right.
So, maybe you stay away from that and you eat other foods.
She mentioned
like beef.
The smell too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to look. Each person has individual biochemistry.
Yep. Yeah.
And so you have to respect that. And that may be just you. So, even though fish is great and it's healthy for you, it may not be for you. I have a high allergy or reaction to shrimp and I don't eat it. So, I understand that. But thank you. That's a good question.
She wanted
us.
To know though what she could eat instead. That's
what,
just
what
as healthy.
What can I eat to complete my?
Well, you said, chicken or beef or pork or eggs, those kinds of things are perfect as far as protein, too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if it's just the dislike of the fish, to get those good omega-3 fatty acids, you could actually take a supplement. But if it actually makes you sick, you probably wouldn't want to do that either.
That's right.
And where else do you find omega-3? I mean, I know you have some in olive oil, right? And
well, you actually can find a form that comes from algae.
Okay.
And that's a straight DHA omega-3.
Okay.
And then also in grass-fed meat, you get a little
bit
of omega-3s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So the other thing that we need to talk about with cooking fish and a concern that people have is that, you know, and to get that good quality fish, the good tasting fish, that it is expensive.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
it is.
Some of it's.
Couple things you can do about that. I mean, it is expensive. You know, chicken is certainly less expensive than fish. What I tell people is to be really cognizant of seasonality. So what I mean by that is we're today selling Copper River sockeye salmon. It's a great salmon, and we've been selling it since about May 20th. And when it first opened, we were selling it in the high $20 a pound range, which is, you know, really unbelievable. Mm-hmm. We're now selling it around $10 a pound. It's the same fish. It's not worse quality now. It's just there's more of it. There's kind of a pent-up demand worldwide for the fish. It's the first wild salmon of the year that's available fresh. And so it's really in demand. So think about, you know, demand and when that's at its peak and when the fish is at its peak and buy in season. Sometimes, you know, there are things that are farm raised, like we talked about tilapia a little bit. It's easy to farm raise. It's farm raised all over the world, and it produces a great protein for really, you know, $5, $6, $7 a pound range.
Okay.
Really pretty affordable. And every once in a while, there are things that people just don't know about. We sell things like skate, which is like a ray, like a manta ray. And, you know, it's kind of an odd thing to some people, although it's not odd tasting. And it in France, it's a real accepted part of the diet. Somebody told me it's part of the French school lunch program.
Oh, wow.
And yet it's really inexpensive, you know. Mm-hmm.
Tell us that one more time.
Skate. Which is kind of it's a ray, and you can grill it, you can saute it. People poach it a lot, you know. And it's funny because we sell it to some of the most expensive restaurants in town, but yet skate is one of the least expensive fish we sell.
Okay.
So you can look for things that are a little less known and try them out. You know, catfish is another really great bargain fish, I think. You know, where the quality is great, the flavor is good, it's nice and versatile. Easy to cook, and yet it's pretty inexpensive.
So Tim, you know, you mentioned that, you know, buy in season. So how would a person know what's in season?
That's a good question. There are a number of different things you can do. One of them is look on our website, coastalseafoods.com. We're about a month away from having an online newsletter, and our newsletters always say what's coming into season, what's going away, what's at the peak of the season. Because it changes
that's great.
The time, you know. And the other thing is just go to your fishmonger, whether that's at Lund's or Byerly's or wherever you shop or Coastal Seafoods, and ask questions. You know, what's coming up? Look at specials, those kind of things.
Well, you know what? We have to take a quick break. And if you are experiencing restless leg syndrome, try adding 400 to 800 milligrams of magnesium glycinate before bed. You know, it's interesting. Magnesium works like magic on muscles. So we'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Dar and I want to thank Tim for all the great information on fish.
Oh, thank you.
How to cook it and how to pick fresh fish. We will have his recipes on our website at weightandwellness.com.
And if you were trying to call in and you just couldn't get through and you have a question for us, you actually can just email us at email@weightandwellness.com, and that's all spelled out, and we'll either answer it on the show if you want us to, or we'll answer it personally next week for you. And Tim, I know you have a cookbook because I picked it up yesterday, a couple of days ago, and I really looked like I liked it, and I tried a couple of recipes actually out of it. So how can people find your cookbook?
Sure. I mean, we sell it in all our stores. We have three stores, one in Wayzata, one in St. Paul, and one in Minneapolis. You can find it online at places like Amazon, and some of the bookstores still carry it too. And it was a great experience. I learned a lot, and you talk about doing research. I went to the library pretty much every day for 4 months, and that was great.
I don't know how you managed in your busy schedule.
Yeah, well, after work and evenings, and yeah, it was a hard 4 months, but it was worth it.
So we have a call. Do we dare?
Yep, we do.
Okay.
Doris, you have a question for us?
Hi.
Hi there.
I have a question about calcium supplements.
Mm-hmm.
I have osteoporosis, so besides food sources, I read somewhere that Tums actually was a good source of calcium.
Actually, it's a terrible source of calcium.
It is.
And it changes your acid alkaline so that you don't break down calcium from foods then. So it's actually a very negative kind of calcium. So you need a calcium citrate, actually. And there are some really good bone building supplements. We have one at our office that's called Pro Bono, and it's actually a guaranteed product. And not many companies can do such a thing as guarantee a product. You take a pack in the morning and a pack at night, and your bone density test will be better the following year, or they actually refund the money to you. So that is, when people have osteoporosis, that's one that we recommend.
And how do you spell that?
It's called
Pro, P-R-O, Bono, B-O-N-O. And you can just call our office at 651-699-3438, and they can give you more information on that, Doris.
And, actually, we're also putting together a class on bone health. There are a lot of other foods that you can look at. You know, even eating something like canned salmon, and you crush up the bones, you're ending up with high calcium in that food. And there's a lot of other vegetables, too, that are high in calcium. So we look at it as a total package. You know, you need to look at the foods, but then you also need to make sure your digestion is working. You need to make sure that you've got a good calcium supplement.
And that we're not leaching calcium from the bones. So calcium in our bones are not simple. You know, if you're drinking pop or any soda, that's not a good thing.
And it's a very serious problem because, you know, as you know, this is what happens when people are in nursing homes. They often break a bone. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
We thank you for the call today.
Okay.
And just give us a call at our office.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
So, Dar, we know that many nutrition authorities recommend consuming fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines, and everything for cardiovascular protection. But there are also many, many studies that cover other things, too, like depression.
Depression. It's huge for depression. And, Tim, you were mentioning it's even...
Yeah, there are several new studies that show that postpartum depression has really helped, and that IQ of children who are born to mothers who have been eating fish tend to be higher. It really is amazing.
We definitely want that.
Absolutely. It's really, you know, amazing that the impact of omega-3s. And I think we're just really starting to learn more about it. And we've known about the healthy aspects for your heart for a while. But I think some of the other things like the mental implications are really just beginning to be known.
Well, the one that I liked is your kids have better personalities. that's true, and that's what the research,
that's
better
great.
Personalities, and they're happier, and they're more verbal, and all those great things that happen when people eat good
tremendous.
Quality
great.
Fish.
Better personalities are absolutely wonderful. So thank you for listening today. Tim, thank you for being
here.
Well,
thank
you. I really appreciate it. I'm on my way to Coastal to get some fish to grill this evening. And remember...
The magic within you is the fish that you eat this week. Thank you for listening.